Book of Romans this morning. We'll be in Romans chapter number one. Romans chapter number one. And it's a great song. Don't miss the words of what you just heard. And makes me think of the message this morning and the message tonight. Of course, there's a little bit of a missions emphasis today. And then tonight, I want you to be in the service tonight, especially. I have a message that God has put on my heart. I had all the family was over at the house yesterday afternoon, and I had one of my daughters say to me, well, since you're going to, you have an early flight, 6 o'clock flight Monday morning, and you have everything going on, you're going to preach the missionary and everything, you're going to preach short tomorrow night. And I said, no. I said, I have a lot to say. And she said, so we've noticed. I won't tell you which daughter that is, but it was Jack's mom. And so, you know, it's anytime we open the Bible and we go through the Bible, it's for us. But there are times when God sends a message to the church. And I think he has sent us some of those. And certainly this morning we want to listen to this, especially tonight, be in the service tonight. This morning, Romans chapter number one. And when God sends a message, you make sure you're there to hear it. I think a lot of times we complain, well, God hasn't answered my, but what I've been praying about, he did. You just weren't there to get the message when he delivered it. And so be in the service tonight. Romans chapter 1, look at verse number 14. We're going to read verse 14 down through verse number 16. I'm preaching a message this morning that I have preached one time before. I preached this at a missions conference, actually the missions conference in Oklahoma where the Lopez's were. And I rarely preach a message somewhere else that I don't preach here first. But I'm doing that this morning. I'm preaching a message that I preached there first. Lord put on my heart, I'm preach it today. And so we can determine whether or not it's what we need, or maybe he didn't listen well enough the first time and he needs to hear it again. I don't know. But Romans chapter number one, and let me say this, and I'll get to Romans one in just a minute. Do stop by the table, pick up a prayer card. And if you pick up a prayer card, you are obligated to pray. And so get one of those, and then I know we as a church, we usually assume that when a missionary comes in, we're taking up, giving an extra offering, and so do put something extra in for missions so that we can take care of them this week and be back in the service tonight. Romans 1, verse 14, I am debtor. Let that word sink in just for a moment. That's going to be our focus this morning. I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as is in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. Let me stop right there. We often look at that verse, so as much as in me, I'm ready. You know, as a preacher, you're supposed to be ready. As a Christian, you're supposed to be ready. Why is he ready? You cannot take it out of context of verse 15 or verse 14. He understands he is a debtor. Because he's a debtor, he's ready. If we would understand the mindset of which we as a believer are supposed to have, it would change our actions. He said, because I'm a debtor, so as much as is in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. Verse 16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. This morning I want to preach a message I've entitled, What We Owe the World. What we owe the world. We often look at missions as something we're doing the world a favor. America's doing Bolivia a favor. Because we let them have a couple from our country. We're doing the world a favor. Tomorrow, a group of us is going to the island of St. Lucia because we're doing them a favor. Because Americans are coming to give them just a token visit. And that's not why we're going, but sometimes the American church, that's the mentality. The average Christian that sits in a church, that's the mentality. This morning, I want to remind us that we should have a different mentality. What we owe the world. Father, help us today as we consider the truths of your word. And Father, may you work in our hearts today, work in our church, There's no doubt that you have blessed us. There's no doubt in my mind that you have been working amongst us. But I'm also equally convinced that there is more that you would like to do and that you're trying to do with your people. And Father, I pray that you would use this message as you would see fit. And Father, may we be challenged today. May we be better because of what is done this morning. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to ask a rhetorical question, but have you ever owed somebody a debt? I think the answer for all of us would be yes. Maybe it was a loan, a credit card, or a mortgage. Debt is heavy. See, it doesn't matter how you feel about the debt. Once you have it, the debt is always there. You can forget about it, but it's there. You can ignore it, but it's there. It is not just there just to be there. It is there demanding to be paid. Paul says in our text this morning, he says, I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. What debt did he owe? Was it a monetary debt that he owed? I do not believe it was. Did he owe them a favor because they had been kind to him? I don't believe that's what he was. I don't think he looked at kindness as a transaction anyway. What debt did he owe? I think it's very easy for you and I to see this morning as we look at verse 14 and then go to verse 15 and 16, our text this morning, that the debt that he owed was the gospel. He had been entrusted with the only message that saves sinners. Conservatism has never saved a sinner. The American dream has never saved a sinner. A religious doctrine has never saved a sinner. Only the gospel saves sinners. And he understood, everywhere I go, I owe people the gospel. Don't raise your hand this morning, but if you have a debt, say a mortgage, or you're paying on your car or whatever, when you're at home, you owe that debt. When you go to work, you owe that debt. When you go on vacation, you owe that debt. When you go to a place of business, you owe that debt. It's not just a debt you owe at a certain place and a certain time. You live under that debt. That's what Paul is saying. Paul is saying it doesn't matter if I'm in my home country or I'm in another country, I owe this debt. It doesn't matter who I encounter. Is this a friend, a family member, or just a complete stranger? He says, I owe that debt. He didn't put it in classes of people. Those that like me are like me, I owe a debt to. But those barbarians, I don't owe a debt to. Paul was a learned man. He was an educated man. I don't know if Paul was ever in a room that he was not the smartest person in that room, but what he was wise enough to say, it's not just those who are educated like me, it's the unwise. It's those without an education, those without the understanding of living. Nowhere I go will I encounter people that I don't owe a debt to. This morning we are likewise debtors. Who are we, as the Emmanuel Baptist Church, indebted to? Who are we, as individual Christians, indebted to? The world. I don't want to spend too much time on this, but we got to be careful with political ideology getting in the way of scriptural commands. I'm an American. I love America. I want America to excel, exceed. I want it to be the wealthiest nation. I want it to be the most powerful nation. I like having some American pride. But be careful letting your patriotism get in the way of your debt to the world. See, church, that is how we must view missions. Let me just say, I have a different view of missions than a lot of people who have just fallen with a generational tradition after tradition. I like to see what the Bible says about it. And sometimes we take missions as a church, and it's just another ministry that we put on the side like Christian education. And I don't think you can categorize missions separate from our everyday life. Because it's Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the uttermost. I was meeting with Brother Cruz yesterday, and we had some discussion about them raising support for the Great Commission mission, and I reminded him what we know is that we are communicating the truth of we are missionaries. And because of technology and travel, we can come alongside a national and encourage them and train them. We have to take this mindset of, well, that's for some, missions is for some people in the church. Now, you take the Bible and what Jesus said, go to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost. And you make that applicable to you and I today. We're in Jacksonville, Florida. You do know you're in Jacksonville, right? If we forget, you're going to be reminded we're in Jacksonville. That's your Jerusalem. That's my Jerusalem. So we say if part of missions is Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and uttermost, so we often focus on the uttermost, and we should, but you can't forget about Jerusalem. So you may not be a missionary to the uttermost, but if you live in Jacksonville, you should be a missionary to Jerusalem, to Jacksonville. Well, the missions is for the missionaries. Missions is for the pastor. If we would have our mentality be a scriptural one, if we'll allow the mentality of the Apostle Paul to become our mentality, we realize that every person I see, I owe a debt to. Then we would understand that every child of God is a missionary. Whether you ever leave the state of Florida, whether you ever leave the borders of the United States, every one of us is to be a missionary because every one of us is in debt. As a church, and this is part of that conversation I had yesterday, we want to get this mentality of we're not part of the church that are soul winners. No, every part of the church is supposed to be soul winners. Because not one of us can say, I don't owe that debt. We must view missions this way. Yes, our giving helps carry missionaries across the ocean. But what they carry is the gospel. The debt is not financial. The debt is spiritual. We are not just debtors with our dollars. We are debtors with the message of Christ. Until the gospel is delivered, the debt remains unpaid. Are you hearing me this morning, church? Until the gospel is delivered, we still have a debt we must pay. We're all indebted. You're saved this morning. You have a debt that you cannot pay. Except for getting the gospel to every creature. This is why, as your pastor, I don't feel bad about saying we're taking a missions offering. Because we're paying our debt. This is why I don't feel bad saying we're going to start more Sunday school classes. Because we have to pay a debt. This is why I don't feel, I'm not going to feel guilty about saying, hey, you need to give your life to God. Why? Because we have I want to pursue the American dream. Okay, but you have some debt that you have to pay. Before I get into the outline tonight or this morning, it'll feel like tonight for some, I'm sure, but has debt ever kept you up at night? Oh, this debt is so heavy, how am I going to pay it? Oh, it's going to take me 20 years to pay this off. Let's make an application. Has your debt, church, to the lost world ever kept you up at night? Is the fact that there are 8 billion people on this planet, and the vast majority of them have not ever heard a clear presentation of the gospel? I know we have to pay that debt, and I'm not minimizing the debt to the bank or the mortgage company or the medical debt or whatever it might be, but what about the spiritual debt? Has it ever kept you up that in our own city, as it's growing by leaps and bounds, and Oh, we want to keep putting more government programs and more government programs and more therapy and more of all these other things, everything but the gospel, that the more thing resources we have, the worse off we actually become. And we'll hear the political arguments, or you'll hear it on the media, as, oh, we got to pay, as a nation, we have to pay our debt, or we're going to leave it to the next generation. We're going to leave it to our grandchildren. And that's certainly true, but let's make that application as Christians and as God's church this morning. How long are we going to kick that can down the road until the population is such that one generation can't turn it around? We have a debt. And we'll say this to our politicians. At some point, you've got to quit thinking about your political careers and do what's right for the people. Can we not make the application to God's church and to God's people? At some point, there's got to be a generation that sets their dreams and aspirations aside. And yes, if it was all equal, I could have my financial future like this, and I could achieve this, and I could watch my children and grandchildren pursue all of these things. If we can hold our politicians to that, and we can get frustrated and upset and cynical at them because they are more concerned with being reelected than being a one-term senator doing the right thing for the people. Well, how about the church? Are we willing to put our retirement off for 5 years? So not just so we can support more missionaries, so that more missionaries can be trained. Can we not have young men and young ladies, whether they still be in high school or they're out in that workforce, young adults, instead of saying, well, I want to pursue what I can pursue and do what I can. Don't worry, Pastor, I'll tithe. At some point, does there not have to be a generation that says, we'll do the hard things, so that we can get a hold of this debt? We revere a generation, that World War II generation, that sacrificed everything so that we could have the freedom we have today. Has debt ever kept you up at night? Has debt ever motivated you to pick up an extra shift? But Pastor, we're too busy as it is. You're asking us to do more. I'm just asking you a question. Has debt ever compelled you to pick up an extra shift during the week so that you can pay down your debt? Has debt ever compelled you to pick up a second job? Because it's what my responsibility demands. It's what to keep on track with paying off this debt and providing for my family. It's something I don't want my children to inherit. It's something that I don't want my grandchildren to ever have to know about. I'll pick up a second shift. I'll work a second job so that this debt can get paid. Then why is it we as Christians, as God's church, when we say, let's do something more for the cause of Christ? Why don't you pick up a Sunday school class? Well, I'd have to not give to my hobby as much. There's not a person who has any financial sense who would advise you to spend any money on a hobby while you can't pay your debt. I'm not against hobbies. I have them. But I think you see the point I'm making this morning. We're very hypocritical. And many times it's naively because we don't look at things properly. And Paul says this is a debt. Every person I see, I'm indebted to. We must also understand that we are indebted. And if we would be willing to pick up an extra shift financially, if we'd be willing to pick up a second job financially and give that time and give that sacrifice, it's not too much for God's people to come back on a Sunday night. It's not too much for God's people to pick a time during the week and go invite somebody to Sunday school. It's not too much for God's people to say, okay, Pastor, I'll start that Sunday school class. I'll open up my home. It means I'm going to actually have to clean it now. I'm going to open up my home. It means my electric bill is going to go up a little bit. I'm going to actually open up my home to start a Sunday school class so that others can hear the gospel, can grow in the Lord. I'll actually do that. Yes, it's going to take some sacrifice on my part. Yes, I'm going to have to study a little bit. And yes, I'm going to have to be there on Thursday night for the teacher's meeting. But I'm willing to pick up that shift so that the debt can be paid down. Is it too much to ask us as a generation to do some hard things and give up some things so that future generations won't be saddled with a national debt? I think we would say, yeah, make the hard. There's got to come a time, and it's not going to be a popular time, but there's got to be a time when somebody gets a hold of the financial situation in our country. They're not going to be very popular with the generation they're in. But let me tell you, a generation that's going to revere them is the ones that are coming up. The same is true spiritually. There's got to be a generation that says, yeah, let's still rear our young people to serve the Lord, not to fulfill the American dream so they can take care of me. There's got to be a generation of young men and young ladies and young couples that are willing to say, I could do this, but debt is keeping me from doing it. We've all heard the sob stories, if you will, and then when it plays out, we say, that person has some character. He said, I would have pursued this career, I would have pursued this, but debt kept me from doing it. I paid my debt. But we, spiritually speaking, sometimes we don't even realize we have the debt. And if financially we would pick up an extra shift, if financially we'd pick up a second job to pay some debt, I don't think it's too much for God's people who've been saved by the grace of God with a salvation they cannot earn. When they enjoy the benefits of the shed blood of Christ, who's covered their sins, to be able to say, I'll pick up the second shift. I'll pick up the second job. I'll work a double so that debt can be paid. Well, I wonder what it would do if the fact that lost souls are dying in our city without Christ. You know who's not concerned about debt in our society? Elon Musk isn't concerned about debt. Billionaires aren't concerned about debt. You think debt keeps them up at night? The problem keeps them up at night is like, how in the world am I going to spend all this money? I can't even spend the interest. Well, Pastor, that would be nice to have that much wealth where I never had to worry about debt again. But this is how we do that spiritually. Well, everybody in my house is saved. Why would debt keep me up at night? My wife's saved, my husband's saved, my kids are saved, my grandkids are saved. Why would I be up worrying at night? Because we have failed to realize what Paul realized. Until every soul on the planet every person I come in contact with, the wise, the unwise, the barbarian, no matter who it is. This morning, that's the introduction, and my time is about gone. I'll make four statements. Number one, we carry a debt of the gospel we cannot escape. I'll remind us again, he doesn't say, I owe the Jews, or owe my friends, or owe my family. He lists Greeks and barbarians, wise and unwise. He's covering all humanity. Paul is saying, wherever I go, I owe the gospel. Why was Paul a debtor? Because Christ has entrusted him with a message. And I know that when you put a little bit of pressure about soul winning and evangelism and being a witness, that we get nervous about that. There's some say, I'm for it, but I can't talk, I can't communicate. That's not something. And let me just say to you, don't use that as an excuse. But let me also say to you, we have gospel tracts and invite cards. Invite them to where they'll hear it. Bring them to your Sunday school class with you. Bring them to church with you. I want people to be saved. I just don't know what to say to them. Let me help you. Would you come to church with me on Sunday? Well, I just don't see. Oh, trust me, you need to come. And if they don't come, you invited them. He says, I'm indebted. I'll skip a lot of things here, but let me just make a quick application before I give you number two. I said, number one, we carry a debt of the gospel we cannot escape. Missions giving is not extra. It's part of the debt. I often hear people say, well, when I get out of debt, I'll give. No, you're in debt, and you're just accruing interest with God. Now, you may not be able to give as much because of debt, but if Jesus stopped everything and called over the disciples and said, look at this widow who gave two mites, I don't think it's the large amount that God's concerned with. That's why sometimes when we're raising money for something, to support those pastors or missions, I'll say, if you can't give what somebody else can give, but you can give a dollar so you can have a part. It's part of our debt. Statement number two, we must be ready to deliver the gospel urgently. He says, so as much as is in me, I am ready to preach the gospel. His readiness was fueled by obligation. There's a lot of Christians who are for it, they're just not urgent with it. I would say everybody in this room, and even those that are watching by live stream this morning, I would say everybody agrees with what I'm saying. We're just not urgent about it. I'll do it one day. I'm for others doing it. I'm not going to stop doing it. And I'll cheer while it's being done. But you've got to get urgent with it. Paul also said in 1 Corinthians 9:16, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. Paul wasn't just willing. He felt a holy burden to preach. Some of us act as if the debt can wait. We'll witness when things are better politically. We'll give when money is easier. But see, a debtor doesn't get to say, I'll pay when the time is convenient. If you've got a mortgage, it's got a due date. If you've got a loan, it's got a due date. And if you don't pay it when that due date comes, they slap fees on there. They come looking. The debt can't wait. We have to be busy even when it's not convenient. Are we ready to pay what we owe? Are we waiting until we have more to spare? See, readiness means urgency. Our neighbors and the nations cannot wait. Think about that. Your lost family member, they can't wait. You're those in your neighborhood, somebody in this city is dying today. I've stated the obvious. People all over this world are dying. And we are acting, well, it's not us, it's not my, no, it's our debt. We must be ready to deliver the gospel urgently. Number three, we trust the power of the gospel we proclaim. Paul, when he says he's not ashamed of the gospel, verse 16, he recognizes the power of God and salvation. He wasn't ashamed of it because he knew what he carried. Friend, the gospel is not a weak message. It's God's power to change lives. That's why Paul owed it to every man. Paul knew what he was. He was vile. He was wicked. He was a murderer. And yet, Jesus saved him. Jesus was willing to die for him. Jesus was willing to cover his sins and accept him by faith. He understood the power of the gospel because of what it had done in his own life. He owed it to every man. And friend, the church has gotten sidetracked today. We need social change. We need political change. No, there's only one power that changes the heart of man. There's only one power that can take a dirty, rotten sinner and wash him white as snow. There's only one power that can change a man's eternity from hell to heaven, and that's the power of the gospel. We must be reminded, 1 Corinthians 1:18, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but to us which is saved is the power of God. That's why we send missionaries, not because we're funding travel, but because we're fueling the most powerful message in history. Adoniram Judson, the great missionary, labored in Burma for 6 years before he saw his first convert. 6 years of debt payment with no visible fruit. I was advising a couple this week. They're getting ready to buy a house, and I made the statement in passing, your first several years of payments is just paying interest anyway. Think of Adoniram Judson. For 6 years, he labored with not a convert. Most would say he's wasting his time. Many would say he must not have really been called. But in context of the message this morning, he's just basically paying some interest. He's paying that 6 years of debt payments with no visible fruit. But today, millions of Burmese Christians can trace their faith, they can trace their salvation to his work. Why? Because the gospel he preached was powerful, even when the results were delayed. See, when you and I give to missions, you're not just paying for transportation, you're helping deliver the gospel. When you share Christ with a neighbor, you're not just giving them a color invite or wanting them to come partake of some donuts and coffee in Sunday school, you're helping deliver God's power to them. The power that will heal that marriage, the power that will save those souls, the power that will clean those lives up. Right. We don't owe the world our culture. Right. Well, if we can just make every nation America, we'd be fixed. No, if we made every nation America, they'd be just as corrupt as our nation. Right. Right. I mean, I just wrote a book called Satan's Culture. And it wasn't about foreign countries. It's about our culture. They don't need our politics. Matter of fact, there will be one that rises one day, and no, I don't believe it's Trump. There will be one that rises one day and unites the world politically and ideology. He's not the Christ. Let me say number four, and I'll be done. We must, it's the missionary's fault. He was too long. We must deliver the gospel before the opportunity ends. John chapter 9, verse 4, a wonderful verse that you got to put in the memory. Jesus said, the night cometh when no man can work. Paul's urgency came from knowing the clock was ticking. Every day, souls slip into eternity. The debt doesn't wait. Well, Pastor, let me take care of this, then I will. Well, Proverbs 27:1 says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Tomorrow is not promised. It's not promised for us, but let me just say, it's not promised for them either. Ecclesiastes 11, verse 4 warns, he that observeth the wind shall not sow. If you wait for better conditions, you will never plant. Well, I don't want to put the seed out today. The wind's blowing too hard. Might scatter the seed. If you're just watching the wind and looking at the perfect condition, you'll never sow. If we wait until we're more financially stable or less busy, the debt will go unpaid. A missionary once said, the gospel is only good news if it gets there in time. See, giving to missions, being part of missions, being a witness, being part of Sunday school, all those things, they're time sensitive. A personal witness is time sensitive. Our debt is not due someday, it's due today. Paul said, I'm a debtor. If Paul was a debtor, certainly you and I are debtors. So, oh, well, we need to send more financial aid. No, we need to send the gospel. I mean, our politicians are so smart, aren't they? Let's send all these nations a whole bunch of money. Give me that money. And let me take that money and send missionaries. And the gospel can take a nation out of poverty and lift it up. It can change the actions of people. Let me wind down this morning by just saying we can never pay this debt in full, but we can faithfully make our payments until Jesus comes. Every track you hand out, I'm not just fulfilling my obligation. No, you're paying your debt. There's one less person in Jacksonville I've got to find to invite. There's one less person in the First Coast that I know that I've got to invite. Every member of this church ought to invite everybody they know. I believe we ought to go knock on doors. I believe we ought to canvas areas. But if we just put all our energy and efforts in the people we already know, that'd be a good place to start. Well, you ever imagine what's going to be like in heaven? Our finite minds can't fully comprehend, but it's awfully fun to imagine. But I wonder if the scenario will play out, and other preachers have said this, where somebody will walk up to us in heaven and say, I'm here obviously because of Christ, but I heard because you paid your debt. You did what you were supposed to do so that I could hear. Let me make this applicable to all of us, because some of you, you may be here, you may not even be saved this morning. You need to trust Christ as your Savior. The church can't save you. I can't save you. A religious man cannot save you. Your good works cannot save you. Only through Christ's sacrifice, His finished work on Calvary. So I just don't know that it can. Oh, no. Look around you. These. If God can save these people, He can save you. Well, you don't know what I've done. You don't know what they've done. And no matter what is done, Christ's shed blood is powerful enough to wash it white as snow. Maybe you're a new Christian, and you understand what I'm saying, but you don't really understand all the ins and outs of what I'm saying. Let me encourage you to take that next step today. You being in church is a testimony to somebody who's not. You growing as a Christian is a witness to somebody who's watching. Just because it gets hard, just because you have to give something up, don't give up. Keep growing. Won't you make a commitment today? Well, I just don't know about making a commitment to the church. You made a commitment to that bank for 30 years. I'm just asking you to come back next Sunday. And the 30 years after that too, but. Well, I just don't know if I can be commit to giving that in my budget. Go get your bank statement. Look at how many monthly subscriptions you're paying. Sure. Pastor's asking me to give to something every month. Honey, did you pay that monthly subscription? We're giving monthly. Just are we giving to pay our debt monthly? Or are we giving to entertain us monthly? Don't you get tired of freeloaders? I'm paying my taxes just so they can do nothing. I'll pause so you can brace yourself for where I'm going. But it's okay to be a freeloader at church, isn't it? My pastor's just after money. No, I'm just saying, let's pay a debt. Say, so what will you do if I give more to missions? Give more to missions? I don't know if you've noticed or not, Jacksonville's a growing city. There's more people that need the gospel. I'll stop. Whatever it is that you need to take that next step this morning, take that next step. You need to get saved, get saved. You need to get baptized, get baptized. You need to join the church this morning, join the church. Somebody this morning ought to come surrender their life. There's people in this room, I know God's been working on you. How do you know that? Because of what He's compelling me to say. And if you would surrender, young couple, if you would surrender, young man, if you would surrender, young lady, I could move on. Somebody ought to come surrender. Somebody ought to just be reminded this morning, my labor is not in vain. Because the devil will tell you, are you really going to see a fruit of all that investment through the years and all these things that you've given through in the years? Yeah, you've just been paying a debt. Maybe God's compelled you to give financially to missions. Whatever the Holy Spirit instructs you to do, it's just a good habit to say yes. Even if you don't know how it's going to happen, just say yes. When He came knocking at your heart about salvation, all you had to do was say yes. You didn't have to know how it all worked. You didn't have to witness the blood being put on your account in heaven. You didn't have to see all of that. You just had to say yes. And God said, I've already taken care of it. The payment's actually been made. Now all I have to do is apply it to your account. The same is true in your Christian life when the Holy Spirit impresses upon you to take that next step. Yes, there's going to be fears and there's going to be insecurities. Just say yes. And God will do for you, and He'll work in your life. What you cannot do, what your pastor can't do for you, what anybody else can do for you, the Spirit of God can do it. But it takes your faith. If you were in Sunday school this morning and you heard about those 10 lepers, that Jesus said, go show yourself to the priest. And I'm paraphrasing the scripture, but He said, as you go, you'll be healed. He didn't heal them then so they could go and show. He said, go, show faith, and you'll be healed. The same is true in your Christian life. He'll do it for you. Father, use your word this morning. Use the